This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Melissa Ackerman, CEO and co-founder of Planet Harvest. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Melissa Ackerman next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 530 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. In 2023, it's estimated that 30% of the produce in the country was left unharvested. That's 36 billion pounds of food worth $13 billion. Recognizing the losses farmers faced and the need for fresh produce and good nutrition, Melissa Ackerman's work during the COVID pandemic led to Planet Harvest and its mission to incorporate sustainably sourced produce into the supply chain.
There were farmers that were plowing under their products and milk that was being dumped. And I was the president of Produce Alliance, and our company worked to manage the supply chain from field to fork for food service restaurants and food service industry. So restaurants and coffee shops and airports. And overnight, many of those institutions shuttered their windows, and we had to figure out what to do with a supply chain of product that had never seen everything close at one time and figure out where we could place that product. And so at the beginning of the pandemic, we worked on moving that product to hospital systems to be able to give doctors and nurses and janitorial staff and all the people that were working tirelessly to help with the pandemic. We worked with that to bring boxes to the doors at the shift changes at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. so they had nutritious food that was available for them to take home in these boxes across the country through the Produce Alliance Foundation. It was amazing, but it also turned into, when the Farmers to Family Food Box program began, we were ready and able to be a part of that program. And that program actually was during the pandemic and then went from the Trump administration into the Biden administration. And it only ended when the funds ended for the COVID funds. But that program allowed for grantees to be able to determine the supply chain, to work with suppliers, to create boxes through their distribution network, and then to bring it into charitable and schools. And so Produce Alliance, which I was running, held one of the largest contracts during that time. We did 9.2 million boxes, over $300 million. Ivanka at that time was also running that program and spearheading it for the government. So we had the opportunity to meet each other at several events that were giving away these boxes with the incredible organizations that were penetrating food deep into the community. And we've bonded over a shared passion of bringing fruits and vegetables and fresh food to people's tables across America. And so that's where our relationship began.
So when we think about waste, there is a lot of discussion about food waste in the nation as it pertains to sustainability and the environment, the amount of food that winds up in landfills. You're going one step further and looking at the produce, the fruit that is produced that's never harvested and goes to waste.
During that time period, I had the opportunity to work a lot with organizations like World Wildlife Fund and others that were really in the space trying to figure out and make sure there wasn't waste. But what I learned a lot during that time is there is a lot of on-farm waste and loss, and that there are studies to understand, you know, why does product not leave the field? So what I mentioned about seeing product being put back into the ground and milk being dumped, like, that was a one-time focus by the media to show this excess. But in reality, that happens every season. And the reason why we have excess is many, but some of them are the specs of the traditional retailer or food service providers want a certain size, a certain color, a certain bricks count. And so ultimately, these products that we focus on that are a little big or a little small don't leave the field because they don't hit the traditional spec. And there's no market for farmers to be paid enough money to be a viable business solution to move it off of their fields. And so it varies by commodity, but there are also instances where, you know, there's overestimate of what somebody's sales will be, or there's a limited time offer by a food service or by a retailer that gets cut. And so there are many reasons why product doesn't leave the farm, but that is in my opinion, a blue ocean opportunity to be able to work to get that product out of the field and create new marketplaces and new understanding and new acceptance by society that all produce is beautiful and that there is a way that we could use it and support our farmers by paying them fair wages for that product.
Perhaps I use too many analogies, but I would suggest going to the produce section at the supermarket is like picking a puppy. You want the cute one. You want the pretty fruit. You want it to be of size and dimension and shape. And I don't know that consumers today really understand how all the strawberries in that crate actually are the same size, because when they come off the vine, they're not the same size.
Exactly. What we've learned as we work through this is like 80% of farmers in the country are not culling, which means they're not taking all the product out of the field, putting it back in the ground because it's not the same. It's too big or too small. That turns into 400 million pounds a year of strawberries that are being put back into the ground in America. And so, as you mentioned, we as consumers, we want that cute puppy, that cute fruit that's out there. We don't want things that are misformed or misshapen or different sizes. And so a part of our whole mission is to have the consumer start learning and understanding, because when that stuff goes back into the field, it's releasing carbon and other environmental gases that are also not good for our environment. So not only has the farmer already put all the inputs in and put all the work in for that product, but now it's also causing harm to our environment. And also, by the way, there is nutrient dense product that could be getting out into the world and feeding more people and getting more nutrients into tables across America and the world. So how do we work to change consumers' viewpoints so that they demand more of this product leaves the field and gets to the supermarkets?
I know our friends at Feeding America have a program at which farmers and other companies allow them to go into the fields and do gleaning, but they provide the work. They provide the labor to be able to do that. And even if that fruit might be just a little bit ugly, if you're hungry, that's just fine. In this situation, you're looking at that unharvested, that product that might not meet the standard, that does still have a value. So enter Planet Harvest, that is a profit for purpose company, if you could explain.
Yeah. So Feeding America does amazing that. They do pick and pack fees for farmers, but sometimes that's also just not enough to cover the farmer to make it worth their while to move that product. So a lot of the stuff we do is we are doing a lot of listening and discovery to understand from the farmers what we can do to be able to incentivize them, work with them, and make it worth their while to change their practices to harvest, sometimes simultaneously, sometimes after, and a secondary harvest, that product, and figure out what we need to do monetarily to incentivize them to make that happen. Plus, then what our job is at Planet Harvest is to figure out the demand market, create the demand, and work with clients and customers that want to support the farmers and want to get the demand side of it to be a customer for those farmers, and hopefully not for a season, but several seasons, and to create new business relationships.
I noted your partner was in an interview on CNBC, and she also was joined by the CEO of Chobani. And this was news that the Chobani CEO learned, and then there was formed a relationship because they wanted a quality product for their customer and they saw an opportunity to reduce waste. How did you connect the dots, and how is this an example of other areas where you're connecting the dots?
Yeah, exactly. So we had an amazing opportunity. We worked with Hamdi on the food box program during the pandemic too. He was an incredible supporter and wanted to bring food to his, where his factories are. And, he's just an amazing person overall. And one of those people whose stories and how he lives is just, he leads by example. So when I had the opportunity to meet with him and explain to him about all these strawberries and all this product that was there, he just instantly fell in love with the idea of helping farmers and making sure that the products that are going into Chobani are delicious to begin with, nutrient dense, but also that are this idea of excess produce that we really target and we support farmers to make sure that they are getting use of their whole harvest. So through our partnership, it's creating demand to really work with farmers to figure out what it will take to get more farmers that are not culling today to start to cull. Just an example on strawberries. But by each commodity, we're doing discovery to understand what part of that commodity is not being harvested and why, and how can we target that to make sure that the products that are going into Chobani focus on excess and focus on delicious products.
So let's drive a nail here if we can as an anchor for our conversation. I don't know that individuals understand the amount of unharvested waste. These are phenomenal numbers in terms of the percentage of the yield, the pounds of produce that we're talking about, and the economic value that is being left behind.
So 30% of produce never leaves the field, primarily because it doesn't meet cosmetic criteria like size, shape, or color. That's about 36 billion pounds of surplus food that went unharvested or unsold on U.S. farms in 2023, which equates to $13 billion of surplus food which went unharvested in 2023. So those are astounding numbers.
So this is an opportunity. When you look at numbers like this, there is a readily available supply. It does have a quality and it does have a value. So where is Planet Harvest located now? And is there an element and opportunity for expansion into other areas?
Right now we're working through the supply chain and we're working with anchor customers that are looking to be able to really discover and learn about their farmers and storytell and really be a part of the conversation. And so we're working commodity by commodity with these customers. We also are looking for new ways that we can use this product. So it's, the idea is about expansion of consumption and also about getting more access to fresh fruits and vegetables. So the way we're doing that is through the supply chain discovery and consulting and purchasing that I mentioned, such we're doing with Chobani. The second thing we're doing is creating new product lines. So we have a dried fruit line that is launching in 2026, and we are looking at American product that has been left in the fields and how do we make delicious single ingredient dried fruit. And then the last thing that we work on is curated boxes that go back to our core of what we did during the pandemic, but curated condition-specific produce boxes, and sometimes they'll include dairy and sometimes they'll include protein and dry goods. But how do we create these boxes that are easily able to get into different parts of the U.S. and throughout rural and urban areas? So those are kind of part of that food as medicine movement.
I would assume that your collection points are common in California, common perhaps in Florida, up the East Coast, and I would think even in the Northeast where a number of vegetable crops are also raised by farmers on a larger scale.
Exactly. Yeah, we're working throughout the U.S. in many different areas, and we're looking to make sure that we have surety of supply and continuous supply throughout the year. So, you know, for berries, we're looking at all of California, Oregon, Washington, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, like all the different areas, New Jersey, but making sure that we're working with different partners in each of these areas to make sure that we have that surety of supply throughout the year and throughout weather conditions.
Well, if you're a producer, and I certainly have been of horticulture crops even myself, maximizing profit is certainly a welcome sound. To think of $13 billion for an industry left in a field?
Exactly. And it's how do we work together to make sure that we are making it so that it doesn't cannibalize the existing business, but increasing overall consumption, because that's going to drive, you know, larger numbers overall and better health financially and sustainably for farmers.
So the connection between the field and the consumer and the industry along the way, how do you develop those new lines, those new chains of opportunity for producer and for company and for delivery to a customer?
It's really demand generation. So it's working to be out there speaking about this, getting more people excited about understanding where their products come from, understanding how the whole harvest and using excess could help enrich and strengthen American suppliers, and really just about educating the consumer ultimately that will drive this demand. So how do we build a brand and how do we build education of the consumer overall to make sure that they are looking for and asking for excess product to be included within the mix and assortment that is provided and available to them?
Do you see an opportunity for someone to offer, as you suggested, the dried product or the puree product, or just simply being straight up and saying this fruit might be ugly, but it still tastes good?
100%. And we welcome that. And we think that that's an opportunity. There's been, we've seen in other countries, the odd bunch. And obviously even in this country, we've seen some companies out there working on not having the most perfect product out there. Our goal is that continues to increase and continues to be more mainstream so that we can help as many farmers as possible use that whole harvest.
If you are a farmer of produce, and I'll just use berries for an example, there is a clock that ticks at the point that fruit is ready to be harvested to the time that it ultimately diminishes from consumption. It's a limited amount of time, and many producers face the challenge of labor. So how do you resolve the situation of having enough people to go to the fields, to collect the product, get it to warehouses and places where it can be stored, and then ultimately to the end user?
Yeah, I mean, that is part of our listening and understanding and trying to have this be built by industry for industry instead of dictating down to what is being said and done. So we are looking at products in many different forms, keeping it fresh, keeping it, working with frozen and working with dried to be able to increase shelf life and ability to get to different types of products. But ultimately, this is something that why we like to be on the ground level, speaking with farmers and speaking with industry leaders in each area to understand and try to be complementary to the work they're already doing.
Do you delineate between an organically produced crop and a crop that might be produced through conventional means?
We're working on both sides.
When I talked to Kathy Burns with the produce industry in California, and one that is growing in a number of states, and you've even mentioned it yourself, that food is medicine. When you look at the company, the Planet Harvest, and you look at the grower and you look at the consumer, how is the inclination toward better nutrition and even food as medicine providing opportunity for your company concept?
Yeah, so ultimately, like, our North Star is to be able to use as much produce as possible. And we see that the food as medicine boxes that we are curating allows for new opportunity for people to receive fresh fruits and vegetables that are not receiving it today, or to increase what they're receiving today. And to put into those boxes the specs that aren't the traditional number one specs, but are still beautiful and still nutrient-dense products. So we're working on many programs out there with large pharmaceutical companies, with hospital systems, with payers that allow for us to build these condition-specific boxes that have all different types of fruits and vegetables that are specific toward conditions that support hypertension, diabetes, GLP-1 companion programs, all different types of things. And using my existing network of distributors, not that I have the relationships with through years in the produce industry, we are using existing infrastructure to build these boxes and scale these boxes.
So aside from time and money, what are the mechanisms that you need to see this company and this concept grow?
We mentioned consumers, having consumers demand the use of the whole harvest. We need to have the food as medicine and the payers continue to expand who and how we prove out the return on investment to supporting food as medicine along with traditional medicine to be able to make us the healthiest people we can be. And we need to continue to have growers open to the conversations of looking at harvesting their whole harvest and looking to be able to change practices because it makes sense for them financially and environmentally.
When consumers hear the story and they learn more about Planet Harvest, is there a way they can go into their store or either online when they're shopping and look for this produce that certainly will help to eliminate waste and create opportunity even for growers and companies and consumers?
Definitely part of our growth strategy. We are working on what this could look like to be able to have it recognizable on packaging.
Well, Melissa, we thank you very much for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. It's outstanding to see how we can take the harvest of a field to eliminate waste, to create opportunity both in business and also feed those who are hungry and feed them with nutritious food. Thank you for your willingness to share your story. This is Open Mic, and always on Open Mic, the guest has the last word.
Just hoping that anyone who's interested in becoming a part of our mission and what we're doing reaches out on Instagram or through our website or LinkedIn. Love to have more people within the produce industry joining us, bringing silos together and working together to rise all tides.
Our thanks to Melissa Ackerman, CEO and co-founder of Planet Harvest. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellie.